in the middle of Perek Zion, Perek Chaloin, beginning on Daf Pei, Hamad Aleph. Itmar, Shitufei Mevoyas. If you're involved in a Shitufei Mevoyas, Rav Amar Ein Tzarech Lezakais. According to Rav, you do not have to make a kinyan with all the residences surrounding this Mevoy. Shmuel says Tzarech Lezakais. You have to make a kinyan with everybody around it. Erev Tchumen, Rav Tzarech Lezakais. Shmuel Ein Tzarech Lezakais. Exactly the opposite, as we said, by Shitufei Mevoyas. Ishtei Shel Adam, the wife of a man, Mareves Shalei Midaita, she's allowed to make an Erev without his Das. The Ritva says this is even if he disapproves of it, she's still allowed to make an Erev without his Das. We go as far as saying, Kaifenaisei, Lasais, Lechi, Vekaira. If all becomes necessary, we're allowed to force a person to make a Lechi or a Kaira in order to participate with the rest of the group. We then say that it's Mutter to be Mishtamish in a Lechi made out of an Asherah. But a kaira asherah, that's a machlekes if you're allowed to use that or not for a lechi. We then have a mishnah that says, what is a shear of a shituf? We say, when is a lot of people involved, in other words, more than 18 people, you need a shear of mazon l'shtei sudas for everybody. Bimuatin, let's say it's less than 18 people, then you have to use a shear k'gregris l'chol echad. And shtei sudas is equal to 18 people. That's where the shear of mazon l'shtei sudas. So if you have less than 18 people, you just need a gregris for each person. Once you have 18 people, you need a mazon l'shtei sudas. And if you go over the 18 people, that's the maximum amount that you need. We bring down a coin to Rabbi Yehuda. Erev tchumen, you have to have the das of your friend. If you make an erev tchumen for somebody else, that person has to have das on it. Otherwise, it's not chal. By erev chatzeres, we say it's even okay shalem bidas. The reason for this is because Zachin Ladim Shalai Befanef, in the case of Erev Chatzeres, whatever you do, it's going to be good for the person. In the case of Eretz Chumen, Ein Chavin Ela Mi Befanef. You're not allowed to do something which could potentially hurt a person. And since when you make an Erev Chumen, you could potentially hurt him. Therefore, you can't do it without his Das. We then have a Mishnah that says, Bakal Ma'arvin. And according to Moshe, this is specifically referring to Erev Chumen. You're allowed to use anything for the Erev. Rabbi Eliezer says, you can use everything, but not including mayim and melech, because these are not really mazon, these are not really foods. According to Rabbi Yeshua, you can only use a kikar shalim. Even if it's a small kikar, that's okay, as long as it's a shalim. Daf Pei Aleph. The Gemara says, what's this whole thing about using a kikar shalim? What's wrong with the prusa? What's wrong with using broken pieces? My taima prusa lai. Our answer is Mishum Eva, because we're afraid of ill feelings. Imagine the situation. Some of the people gave a full loaf, some of the people didn't give a full loaf. So the people who gave a full are going to feel bad, are going to be upset because they had to give a full loaf and the other people didn't. So in order to avoid that, we say it has to be a full loaf. The Gemara then says, if you stitched together parts of a loaf, then it's also good enough for an Erev, and that's okay. As long as it looks whole. The Maratz Chias wants to bring a raya from here, that stitching together not only could work here in a case of an Erev, but it should also work by an Esrog. If a pitim falls off of an Esrog, maybe you should be able to stitch it back together. But he says, in fact, not. He brings the son of the Neid of Yehuda, who says that it's no raya. Here, the only reason that it's a tefira, that the stitching is good, is because it prevents Eva, it prevents ill feelings. But by Esrog, the Iker HaLacha is that it needs to be shalom. Therefore, stitching would not be good enough. We then have a Mishnah that says, Rabbi Eliezer says, Naisen Adam Ma, a person is allowed to give a coin, Lechenveni, to a storekeeper, Kedei Sheyezaka Lai Erev, so you should be Zeicha, be Mezaka and Erev for him. The Chachamim say you're not allowed to do that. The Gemara then says, Bedalad Prakim Elu Sheikhten Es Hatavach Abal Karchei, Afilu Im Hashor Shav Elef, Dinar, V'ein L'Leikin Ela Dinar Echad. We say this four times a year. Will we force a Sheikhet to Shechta anyway? Even if he has a shor, he's going to have to shech this animal that's worth a fortune of money, and the person is only going to buy a little bit of meat. This is brought down in the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Pei Gimel. One of the four times, Erev Pesach, Erev Shavuos, Erev Rosh Hashanah, and Erev Shmini Atzeres. And Taisu says, what about Erev Sukkos? Other than that time, we don't necessarily force. Why not? Because everybody's busy. Shekuli Alma Tridi B'Sukka V'Lulav. Everybody's busy with Sukka and Lulav, so we don't force the butcher to shecht it anyway. And we say that in these four particular cases, if the animal dies before the shechita, then the animal now can't be eaten. The buyer ends up losing because it was like he was kaina in it immediately, as soon as he paid for it. The Gemara then says, "Kol makam shashana Rabbi Yehuda be'erivin halacha kamay." Say, any time Rabbi Yehuda is brought down lagabi the halachas of erivin, we paskin that the halacha is like him. And finally, we say, "Betchumin ma'arvin rak midas." Why is this? Because ein chavin ella befanav. Daf pei beis. Hamasachek bekuvya umal v'berivus umafricha yoina v'sechrei shvius pasul edus. This is a Gemara in Sanhedrin that's brought down here. Primarily, this is talking about if a person gambles, or if he lends money with ribis, or he does a number of other things, sechrei shvius, etc. He's pasul edus. Rabbi Yehuda says, this particular case where a person is pasul edus for gambling, that's only if he does not have another umnus. He doesn't have any other profession. This is the only thing that he does. Avalim yesh le'acher, but if he's got another profession, kashul edus, then he's kashul. Coincidentally, when I happened to learn this Gemara, I happened to have been in a business meeting in Las Vegas. And the hotel I was staying in had a casino, and I had to walk right through the casino to get to my room. This whole question entered my mind: are you allowed to gamble, or are you not allowed to gamble? Can you play with the slot machines? Can you not play with the slot machines? Same question, of course, would apply in playing a lottery. A lot of the gedarim around this revolve around the question of asmachta. Asmachta basically is an unwilling payment based on unfounded expectations. So in other words, a person is not sure whether he's going to win or not. So when a person actually wins, basically he's like stealing, which explains why he becomes pasul edus. So there's a lot of questions here regarding asmachta. Some of the other questions involved in gambling is, since a person pays his money in advance, if a person puts down money for a lottery and he's prepaying the money, and he also has a strong feeling that he's going to win, so when he loses, it's like a willing payment. And if he wins, it's not really like stealing, because after all, the government or the casino knows that sometimes they have to pay some of the people. There's also questions on whether you're dealing with a private person or whether you're dealing with a large institution. If you're dealing with a private person, it could even be a bigger question, because a person doesn't really want to lose any money. Well, when you're dealing with a large organization, it may be a little bit easier, because the large organization, again, realizes that they have to give up some money in order to make some money. And although we paskin asmachta like kanya, these shadows are very complex, and it's not meant here to paskin one way or the other, but just to point out some of the inyanim regarding asmachta and regarding gambling. This is the end of the seventh perek of Masechta Erevin, and now let's begin the eighth perek of Masechta Erevin, Ketzad Mishtatfin, beginning on Daf Pei Beis. We have a Mishnah that brings down an easy Eitza for an Erev. The Eitza is Miniach Es HaChavis V'yomer Harei Zeh L'chol B'nei Iri. Before Shabbos, you say that this is for everybody, and you're Mishtatef, everybody within the particular city. Amar Rabbi Yosef, Ein Ma'arvin Elo L'Dvar Mitzvah. This is a klal we've seen a number of times. The only time you're allowed to make an Erev like this is for a Dvar Mitzvah. Erev Tchumen, you shouldn't just make L'chatchila for anything, but only in a case of a Dvar Mitzvah. We then say, Katan Shetzarach Yimei, a katan which needs its mother, Yoitza Be'erev Yimei. It uses the Erev of its mother. Let's say it doesn't need its mother, then it needs its own Erev. What are the Gedarim, what are the criteria which determine whether a child needs his mother or not? So we say that there's two pshatim. Number one, if he goes to the bathroom alone, means he does not need his mother anymore. Then he needs his own Erev. Or, when he begins to wake up and he does not scream out, Mommy, Mommy, if he screams out that means he still needs his mother. This is typically around age 4 or 5. But after that point, where he doesn't need his mother anymore, then he would require his own Erev. The Gemara then says, Yochal la'asos Erev b'shvil ketanim, afilu shalai midas. You're allowed to make an Erev for a katan, even without the katan's das. We then have a Mishnah which has a machloikis, kamashir Erev. We know that we're supposed to use muslin l'shtei sudas. Which shtei sudas are we referring to? Rameir says shtei sudas chol. You're supposed to use shtei sudas from during the week. Rabbi Yehuda says shtei sudas shel Shabbos. V'zeh v'zeh miskavnim lohokel. Both of them really want to be lohokel. How is this possible? Rameir says one eats more on Shabbos. Therefore, he says the shear of shtei sudas is the shtei sudas chol. Why does he say he eats more on Shabbos? Because the food is actually better on Shabbos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he says we eat less on Shabbos, since we have to save room for shalosh sudas. Since he says you eat less on Shabbos, he says the muslin l'shtei sudas is referring to the sudas Shabbos. The Gemara brings a raya to Rameir. because we have a famous statement that people always say, Ravcha levesima shchiach. The stomach leaves room for tasty food. This is a common phrase. Since food is tastier on Shabbos, it's a raya according to Rav Meir and not according to Rabbi Yehuda. Daf Pei Gimel. We bring down a Maisa Barav, where we talk about the shiur of Asah, and we bring down four different shiurim of Asah. The Maisa Barav says the shiur is 217 eggs. Sa'a Midbarius is a shiur of 144 eggs. Sa'a Yerushalmis is 173, and Sa'a Tzipiris is 207 eggs. We actually paskin that it's 144 eggs. And the way to remember the formula, to remember that a sa'a is 144 eggs, is a shiur of Askalav Gudu. Askalav spells Aleph is for Eifa, Samach is for Sa, Kuf is Kav, Lamed is Lug, and Beis is Beitza. And Gudu, the word Gudu, the Gimel, goes between the Aleph and the Samach. The letter Vav goes between the Samach and the Kuf, the Dalet between the Kuf and the Lamed, and the Vav between the Lamed and the Beis. And then moving from left to right, since the Vav is between the Beis and the Lamed of Askalav, so we say six eggs to a lug. Since the dalet is between the lamed and the kuf, we say four lugin to a kav, and so on. Six kavin to a sa, and three sa to an eifa, gudu. So you have three sa to an eifa, six kavin to a sa, four, which is the dalet, four lugin to a kav, and vav, which is the six eggs to a lug. Therefore, a sa is equal to 144 eggs. Six eggs to a lug times four lugin times 6 kavin, which is in a saw, is equal to 144. That's how you get the 144. We're able to establish from this that the shear challah is equal to 5 pounds. How do we get 5 pounds? Bizman hazeh. Because we know that the shear of a challah is equal to the asiris ha'efa. Now, since we know that an efa is equal to 72 lugin. How do we know that it's equal to 72 lugin? Because 4 lugin is equal to a kav. 6 kavin is equal to a sa, and 3 sa is equal to an eifa. So 4 times 6 times 3 is equal to 72. So an asiris ha'eifa, therefore, is 7.2 lug. 7.2 lug is about 5 pounds today. We also bring down that this sugya is the source for the shear of Kviya Suda by Birchas HaMazon. We know that there's a question of whether you have to eat three kizesim or four kizesim. How do we get this? We had before in the Mishnah Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, and how the Gemara teaches this up. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, the shear Kviya Suda would be three eggs. Since we know, according to him, two sudas are equal to six eggs. Mashenkin, according to Rabbi Shimon, the shear of Kviya Suda is equal to four eggs. Since according to him, one loaf is equal to eight eggs. One loaf is equal to eight eggs, because that's mazon l'shtei sudas, is equal to eight eggs. Therefore, if that's equal to eight, one suda is equal to four eggs. Then we have a Mishnah that says, the anshei chotzer and the anshei mirpeset, people in the upper level, who don't make an erev together, and there's a pile in the courtyard, the lower level always has exclusive rights to this pile, not the upper. The exception to this is if the pile is more than 10 tvachim tall, and is within three tvachim of the mirpeset, then it's relegated to the upper people. The Gemara then says, if one is accessible, one of the two parties is accessible via shilshul, through lowering of a rope, and the other via zurika, through throwing it, Rav says both are aser, and Shmuel says the shilshul gets it. And here we have a general rule. The general rule says, kol davar shatashmishay l'zeh benachas u'l'zeh b'kasha, any situation where to one party it's easy to get to, and to one it's harder to get to. Nice and isai lizeh shatashmishai benachas. We always give it to the one who has it easier to be able to get to it. Daf pei dalet. Bor v'sela. Ubor malei amayim. We bring down a number of different cases. Additionally, we bring down the case of bor malei tevel and a bor malei peris shel tevel. These are all cases where we discuss who actually has access to it and who does not. Then the Gemara says, anshe chotzer v'anshe aliyah shalai yirvu. They did not make an Erev together. Anshei Chatzar Mishtamshin Basar HaTachtoina. The Anshei Chatzar are allowed to be Mishtamish in the lower 10 Amas. The people in the Aliyah are allowed to be Mishtamish in the upper 10 Aliyahs. And the ones in the middle, anything in the middle space cannot be used by anybody. Finally, we say, Shtei Gus Terois, two balconies, Lamala Min Hayam, that are on top of the Yam, they have to have an Eruv between them. If they do not have an Eruv between these two balconies, both of them are usur to bring up water from the Yam. This is only speaking, however, in a case where these two balconies are within 10 tvachim of each other. Then they're both usur, because both usur is the other without the Eruv. But if they're not within 10 tvachim of each other, then they're not considered attached, and therefore it would be mutter. Daf Pehe. Bor Mayim Shabein Beis Chatzeres Muflagis Mikoesel Zad Dalad Tvachim Umizad Dalad. In a case where there's a bor, there's a pit of water between two chatzeres, and this pit is more than four tvachim away from each of the two chatzeres. So technically, because they're more than four tvachim away from each of the two chatzeres, one cannot aser on the other with or without an Eruv. What we say in this case, although we really don't need anything here, there was a takanas chachamim, that we have to put up some sort of a heker so that they should remember and be aware of what's happening here, but there was something between these two chatzeres. This slat would be put up at a fairly high level, and you could see this diagram in Sefer Perish Chai, diagram number 51. As long as you put up this slat between a slat sticking out of one house and a slat sticking out of the other house, they would be mutter for both houses. We then bring down the shita of Rav, and Rav says, "Ein adam oiser al chavero derech avir." According to Rav, you wouldn't even need a slat at all, since this particular case, the area is not accessible to both of them by foot, but is only accessible through the air. They are not able to restrict each other's usage of that area, and they can continue to use the area without any eruv, or in fact with any kind of hecker at all. So according to him, you wouldn't even need a slat. Then we have a Mishnah. It says, "Hanoisin eruv of a beishar." If you put an Erev in a Beishar, which is a storage house, ain't a Erev. It's not considered an Erev. Why? Because these are not Makom Dira. Vahadar Sham, if a person lives in it, ain't a Iser. Meaning to say he doesn't Aser it for the other residents of the particular Chatzer relating to this. Daf Pevav. Rabbi and Rabbi Akiva haya Mechabed Ashirim. They used to be Mechabed, rich people, because they believed that the rich people provided Chesed in order to preserve the world. We then have a Mishnah that says, "Afilo haylech mibeiso l'ira acheres." Even if a person goes to another city, we know normally when a person is in his chatzar, if he does not participate in an Erev, he asers it for everybody else in the chatzar. Let's say a person goes to another city. Is he considered like he's there, or is he considered like he's in another city? We say, according to Rameir, even if he's in another city, he asers as long as he doesn't participate in the Erev. Rabbi Yehuda says he does not aser. He's not there, so why should he aser? And according to Rabbi Yaisi, a nachri who goes to another city can aser for all the people who are in that same chatzar, because we don't know, he may come back on Shabbos. But Yisrael would not aser. Why not? She'ein derech Yisrael lachzer b'Shabbos, because it's not the normal derech for a Jew to come returning on Shabbos. Then we have the shita of Reb Shimon. According to Reb Shimon, afilu Yisrael shehalak l'macham acher b'oysa ir ein oyser. A Yisrael doesn't matter whether he goes out of town, whether he's in the same city. A Yisrael, even if he's in the same city, would not come back on Shabbos. Therefore, as long as he's out of the house, he doesn't aser for anybody else in that particular chatzar. And the Gemara makes an afgamina between a son-in-law and a daughter-in-law. In other words, if a son-in-law argues with you, you can endure that type of torture. So you would stay in his house and you wouldn't go back to your house. But if you're by your daughter-in-law's house, when your daughter-in-law argues, it's so intense that he may be forced to leave the house and go back to his house anyway. So in a city, according to the Shita, in a city where you are, if you go to your daughter-in-law's house, then where Chayshish, a person may come and return to his house if he should get into an argument. Therefore, a person who goes to his daughter-in-law's house on Shabbos within the same city would restrict the chatzar for the other people in the chatzar if an Erev was not put up in that particular chatzar. We then have a Mishnah. Bor shebein shtei chatzeres, ein memalnei meno b'Shabbos. A bor which is between two chatzeres, you're not allowed to fill it up on Shabbos. Elim kain asu by machitza gavaya asara tvachim, unless you put up a machitza which is 10 tvachim high, bein milamata bein mitach ognai, either down below or within the lip of the bor. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that there's a machlokes here, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says this particular partition has to be milamata, down below, and Beis Hillel says it has to be milamala, up above. Now what is pshat in this lamata ulamala? There's a machlokes in the Gemara between Rabbi Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, how to learn pshat in this. Rapuna says lamala and lamata refer to positions within the bor. In other words, the space between the water surface and the lip of the bor. So according to Beis Shammai, this machitza, which has to be milamata, must be at the bottom of the space, this particular space that we're talking about, just above the water surface. According to Beis Hillel, who holds it has to be milamala, the machitza must be at the top of the space by the lip of the bor. Rabbi Yehuda learns above and below, milamata and milamala, are referring to the actual water in the bor, not to the space between the lip and the water surface. So according to him, according to Beis Shammai, milamata means it has to be at the bottom of the water, mamish. In other words, it has to reach the karkois, habor, and the top part of it has to protrude a tefach out of the water. According to Beis Hillel, pshat milamala means it has to be at the top of the water. In other words, it has to get into the water, it has to be at the top of the water level, but that's as far as you have to have with it. You don't have to go any further than that. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Hikilu chachamim b'mayim b'mechitza tluya b'churva. We've heard this halacha before. The chachamim have a special kula when we're dealing with a mechitza tluya by a churva, that you could be makel by mayim and draw water anyway. The Gemara then brings on a maisa with a sefer Torah in Sipari, where we see that the Rabbanan were makel even if it was not b'mayim, even if it was on yabasha, where we were matir a mechitza tluya. This particular case is the Chi'asa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, they actually forgot one day to bring the Sefer Torah. It was on Shabbos. They forgot to bring the Sefer Torah to Shul. So they were parsu sadin al ha'amudim. The following day, they put sheets, linen sheets, on the post to form a machitza on top of the Sefer Torah. And then they brought the Sefer Torah to Shul and they read from it. So from here we see a raya that this, it's possible that even a machitza tluya, which is not b'mayim, but is on yabasha, may be mutter anyway. And there's a discussion in the Gemara about the specifics of this. We then bring down the shitas of Hananya ben Akavya, who holds of Kaif the Good. Kaif the Good is referring to a case where if you have a mechitza which is horizontal, you could bend this horizontal mechitza to form a vertical mechitza. In other words, if you have a balcony, you could take that balcony and pretend that it was now vertical, and that could become your mechitza, which is 10 tefachim tall. Daf Pei Zayin. We have a mishnah that says a canal going through a rishus hayochid needs a machitza on each side of this canal within the property, since the canal is now considered like a karmelis, so it has to be set off in order to be able to use water from it. The Gemara then says that this is only needed if the water canal is more than 10 tefachim deep and 4 tefachim wide. If it doesn't have those measurements, it's not considered a karmelis, and it would be an integrated part of the rishus hayochid. We then bring down the klal of Ein Chayrin LeKarmelis. The Gemara had said that if the canal is very narrow, it isn't a Karmelis. As we said before, it has to be at least 10 Tefachim deep and 4 Tefachim wide. Let's say it's not 4 Tefachim wide. So we say it's not considered a Karmelis. We ask, why shouldn't it be considered a Karmelis? We see in the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Zayin, that if you throw something 4 Amos within a Rishus HaRabim into the crevice of a wall, we say that that wall is considered part of a Rishus HaRabim. So we ask, why can't this small canal be considered a crevice of a large canal? If there's a big canal running outside this property, and now this small canal comes into the property which is less than 3 tefachim wide, why can't we say that it's a crevice of the large canal, and therefore be considered a karmelis, in the same way that we said in the Gemara on Shabbos Daf Zayin, that the crevice is considered part of the big Rishus HaRabim? So we answer, Ein Chayrin LeKarmelis. Since a karmelis is only midrabanan, we do not treat the crevices of a karmelis like the karmelis itself. Therefore, if it's less than 4 tefachim wide, it is not considered a karmelis, and it is an integrated part of the Rishus Hayochid. We then have a mishnah that says, a balcony on top of water. You're not allowed to take water from it on Shabbos, of course, because you'd be taking water from a karmelis into a Rishus Hayochid. The only way around this is if there's a machitza around the balcony, which is more than 10 tefachim high. Now, this machitza can be either above the floor of the balcony or below the floor of the balcony. Why is this okay? Because of the klal of gudachis machitza. Gudachas Mechitzta is halacha l'moishim b'sinai, would say that once you have walls which are 10 tefachim long, they extend downward to make it even a longer wall. In other words, it extends all the way downward towards this karmelis, towards the water, and now it becomes part of a Rishus Hayochid. The Gemara says that this Mishnah isn't like Hananya ben Akavya, who was makel that if a balcony was at least 4 by 4 amas, you don't need vertical walls, as we said before, but kaif the good is good enough, and the horizontal floor gets bent downwards to create vertical walls. According to this Mishnah, it has to be mamish, separate vertical walls above and beyond the horizontal floor, which is forming the bottom
of the balcony. Then the Gemara says, Rabbi Hanani ben Akavi, Hiter Gimel Dvarim b'Tveria. He was matter of three things in Tveria. Number one, Kaif the Good, which we had mentioned before, about a balcony could be transformed into a vertical wall. Number two, you can store fruits in bean plants, which involve the halachas of Tuma. And number three, you can use a towel to dry yourself on Shabbos, and there's no chshash of schita. Daf peches. We say, Ein Adam Oyser al Chaveray Derech Avir. If the only access to a second chatzer is via throwing, and you can't get to it by foot, we don't say that this asers it on the other person, that now you've got to make an Erev Chatzeris, otherwise it becomes aser for the other person. Then the Gemara says that if you steal, you must also return the thing on Shabbos. Yesh din gezel the Shabbos. We then have a Mishnah that says if a chatzer is less than 4x4 amos, you cannot pour out wastewater into it unless you have a disposal drain, an uka, which contains at least enough area to hold 2 saw of water. And we say if a person pours water in general in one area and it accidentally travels by itself into a Rishus Haravim, we say according to Rashi that he's Potter. Why? Because this is an unintentional transfer. This is the end of the eighth parak of Masechet Erevin. Now we will begin the ninth parak, Kol Gagois, on Daf Peites. We have a Mishnah that says all adjoining roofs in a city are considered one Rishus, and you're allowed to carry even without an Erev. According to Reb Meir, if there is a 10 tefach height distance between one roof and the other, in other words, if you were standing on one roof and you wanted to go to the other, you'd have to step down 10 tefachim. If there was more than 10 tefachim, then it's aser. Otherwise, if you don't have that and they're closer than 10 tefachim, height from each other, then it's mutter. We then have the Shita of the Chachamim. The Chachamim hold that it's always aser. One roof to the other is always aser. They're always considered separate rishuyos, irregardless of what the distance is between them or what the height is between them. And the reason for this shita is because the Chachamim hold kishem shediurin chalukin lamata, kach chalukin lamala. Just like below the roof, there are walls which separate one house from the other. These walls that are inside the house are considered extending upward, above and beyond the roof of the houses, and therefore they separate at the roof level also into separate rishuyos. So they're the machmir de kachumra. Finally, you have the shita of Reb Shimon, which holds all adjoining roofs, chatzeris, and karfifos, as long as they're less than bay saw of a distance, according to Rashi, are all considered one rishus for the kelim sheshas shavsu b'saychan before Shabbos. But the kelim that were in the houses are not considered enough of a separation, and therefore for the kelim that were already in the houses, you would not be able to bring them up on the roof. In this case, you would need an erev between these two chatzeris. The Gemara then says there's a machloikis in the Chachamim. You're not allowed to carry from one roof to the other, but you're allowed to carry on top of one particular roof. In other words, you're standing on one roof. Are you allowed to carry within that particular roof? According to Rav, you're only allowed to carry up to 4 amos on that roof, and according to Shmuel, you're allowed to carry within the entire roof. Rav holds the reason you're allowed to carry only 4 amos is because he says, Loi amar gurachas mechitza. So therefore, we have a mechitza she'ena nikeres. Therefore, there's no mechitza. Therefore, you can only carry 4 amos. But according to Shmuel holds of good achas mechitza, or good asik as it's referred to. So therefore, you can actually, it's like being able to see the mechitza, and therefore you have the mechitzas around the roof, and you can carry on the entire roof. Daf tzadik. We also have another pshat in the sheet of Shmuel, who holds that gag is referring to a case of karpaf, which is yoysami beis asayim, shalai hukaf ladira. Therefore, according to him, you're not allowed to carry except within 4 amos. What about a boat? Let's say it was a boat which has an area which covers Yoyser Mibay Sasayim. According to Rav, which is how we paskin, you're allowed to be metaltel in the entire boat. Why? Because the boat has mechitzas. The mechitzas of the boat in of themselves create the residence. Every boat we know has walls around it. That creates the residency around the boat. But Shmuel says you're only allowed to carry Dalanamas because these walls around the boat Arak lahavriach mayim. The purpose of these walls is not to create a residency, but it's only to keep water out of the boat. Therefore, these walls are not equal to a residence. Therefore, you're only allowed to carry dalanamas because there's like no mechitzas. However, let's say you turned the boat over in order to fix it. You turned the boat upside down. What is that area considered? Everybody would agree that in that case, you would only allowed to walk and carry dalanamas. And we say that Shmuel admits that the halacha is like Rav. Finally, we say if we have an achsadra, which is a pavilion in a bika, in a field, and this pavilion is open on four sides. Rav says you can carry through the entire pavilion, because we say Pitikro Yard Vesaisim, and it comes down, the Bechitza comes down on all four sides. And according to Shmuel, you're only allowed to carry Dalet Amos, since we don't say Pitikra Yared Vesaisim. Daf Tzadik Aleph. We have here a summary of all the shitas that are in the Mishnah. According to Rav Meir, Gagin are considered Rishutz Liatzma, and the same thing for Chatzeris and Karfifos. Therefore, to carry from one Gag to another, or one Chatzer to another, is okay even without an Erev. But you're not allowed to carry between two different types, in other words, from a Chatzer to a Gag, or vice versa, even if they belong to the same person. According to the Chachamim, Gagin and Chatzeris are considered Rishus Achas. Therefore, it's okay to carry between two Gagin, or from Gag Lechatzer or Chatzer Legag, but not from a Karpaf to either of them. Also, of course, it's usher to carry between two Gagin owned by separate people. Finally, the Shita of Reb Shimon, Kulan, Rishus, Achasein, therefore everything is mutter to carry between any combination of anything, and Amar Rab, Halacha, Iskar Reb Shimon. Finally, we say that caps and scarves are mutter to wear in a chatzar, Kumsa Vesudra, because they're, as long as they're worn, Derech Malbush, they're mutter. Taf Tzadik Beis. Shtei chatzeres v'churva echad beinehem. Two chatzeres with a churva in between them. Echad irvu v'echad shalo irvu. Rav Huna says, Neisnin luzu shalo irif. They're the person who was allowed to carry in them. Chia Barab says, to both people it's usur to carry in. We then have a Mishnah that says, a large rooftop that opens up into a small one. People under a large one can carry onto the roof. Why? Since it's considered surrounded on four sides by a wall. In other words, the wall goes upward. And they are allowed to carry from their home onto the roof. But the small one is usur, since it becomes like a small chatzar leading into a large one. And the Gemara brings numerous cases to support the second part of the Mishnah about the small chatzar leading into a large one. First of all, Isha, the chatzar gedayla, the get biktana, miskareshes, a woman who's standing in a large chatzar, but the get is in the small chatzar, she's considered a miskareshes. Why? Because the small chatzar is considered leading into the large one. Therefore, it's as if she was makabel, the get, but not vice versa. If she's in the small chatzar and the get is in the large chatzar, she's considered in a separate chatzar. Therefore, she would not be miskareshes. In other words, what we're saying here is this small chatzar becomes an annex of a large one, so it's like the get is within her large chatzar. Second case, shliach tzibur biktana, but tzibur bigdela, yotzei yidei chavasan. But of course not vice versa, because the key is what's going on in the gedela. And since the tzibur is in the gedela, the small chatzar is considered swallowed up by the large chatzar, and therefore it's considered good. Finally, we say tisha leminyan, bigdela, v'achad biktana, the tenth person is in the ketana. It's considered a mitzdarfin, and it's considered a good minion. Finally, the Gemara says, we do not find a case where a mechitza, which is built, causes an isser. In other words, the lack of a mechitza causes an isser, but we don't find a case where putting up a mechitza causes, can actually trigger an isser. The Gemara then brings down a case of kirachas hakerem and mechayla hakerem. These are speaking of cases by kilayim. We had this earlier. Kirachas hakerem is a patch in the middle of the kerem, and mechayla hakerem is a patch on the side of the kerem. So how much space is needed before you can plant different types of seeds? And this distance, exact distance, is a machlekes beis Hillel and beis Shammai. We then have a case of gimel karfifos zeh betzad zeh. And this is referring to the case where the two outer karfifos have a weak fence, a fence which is shesi or erev, in other words, either horizontal beams or vertical beams, and they are set off from the middle karpaf. But the middle karpaf is not set off from the two side karfifos. In other words, similar to the analogy we had in the Mishnah of a small chatzar leading into a large chatzar. So as we know from the Gemara on Daf Tes Zayin, Shesi and Arev have space limitations of Beis Asayim. But if it's more than Beis Asayim, then we have to be Machmer. However, here, if there are three people, we say that these three people are considered like a Shiara, and therefore we can be Makel and Golakula, and it's even good if it's more than a total area of Beis Asayim. And it doesn't matter how the three people are divided between the different karfifos, which ones they're in, whether one is in this one is in the other one, and one is in the other one, or whether it's two in one. We're able to be makel here, even in the case of Yesmi Beis Asayim, because they're all considered a shiar. We then say an elevation, a gidud of earth, which is five tvachim tall, and then a mechitza, five tvachim above it. Technically, you would say maybe these two should combine. 5 plus 5 is equal to 10. We say that they do not combine, and it is not a good mechitza. The Gemara says if a wall collapses, falls down, and now creates a new residence with more people in it, in other words, it collapses, so now you've got another chatzar, which becomes part of the other chatzar. It becomes a larger chatzar, and now there's no Erev. According to Rab, you're only allowed to carry 4 amas. According to Shmuel, you're allowed to carry as much as you want within this chatzer, because we say Shabbos, kivin shehutra hutra. Since before Shabbos it was considered a mechitza, it doesn't matter what happens on Shabbos, but kivin shehutra hutra, therefore it's good even on Shabbos to walk as much distance as you want. Daf tzadik dalet. Rab did not want to impose his view in Shmuel's neighborhood, since Shmuel had his own psak about what is allowed or what is not allowed in terms of carrying. We then have a Mishnah that says chatzer shenifritzel rishus harabim. Rabbi Eliezer says the chatzer is considered kirishus harabim. In other words, it becomes a deraisa, and he holds this because he holds tzidei rishus harabim is kirishus harabim damim. And the chachamim say the chatzer is considered a karmelis. Therefore, all the yisurim we're referring to are yisurim derabanan, because a karmelis is only a midrabanan. We then have another Mishnah that says chatzer shenifritzel mishnei ruchanias. Rabbi Yehuda says mutarin bi eisa shabbos, but not future Shabbosim. Why? Because the Shabbos, kivin shehutra hutra. But future Shabbosim now have to be judged on their own merit. According to Rabbi Yaisi, it's either always mutter or it's always aser. The Gemara then says this Mishnah is referring to a case of Karen Zavis, where the breach is at the corner. Then the Gemara has a complex explanation of Pitikra Yerid Visaisim, exactly how many sides are we referring to? And the Gemara comes out that Shmuel will not learn Pitikra Yerid Visaisim when it's needed for all 4 sides. Also, other pshatim in the Gemara learn that if there's more than 10 amas, then there's no machlekes at all. If the break is more than 10 amas, we don't even have any machlekes. Daf tzadikei. A sukkah with poles, which are within 3 tvachim of each other, in other words, they're lavud, and they're in an open area. So we say that this is considered kosher, and it's considered good mechitzas. If it has poles which are more than 3 tvachim apart, so then we say it's okay anyway, according to Abaya, since we say pitikra yerid v'saisim. But according to Rava, who does not hold of pitikra yerid v'saisim, it would be considered no good. Finally, we have a Mishnah which says, Habayna aliyah al gabi shtei batim. If one builds an attic, a second story, over 2 houses that are on the opposite sides of a rishus harabim, in other words, this new aliyah forms an overpass over these 2 houses. So Rabbi Yehuda says that it's okay to carry beneath these things on Shabbos. According to the Chachamim, it's aser. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's mutter because we say pitikra yerid v'saisim. Also, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we say 2 mechitzas are enough to create a rishus hayachid min hatara. This is the end of the 9th parak. Now let's begin the 10th parak of Masechta Erevin, parak Hamaitzei Tfilin, which begins on Daf Tzadikei Amud Aleph at the bottom. We have a Mishnah that says Hamaitzei Tfilin, if a person finds Tfilin on Shabbos in a field. And what we're afraid here is that tefillin may be subject to be zionis. So we say, according to the Tanakhama, machnisin zug zug. One should bring them in to a house or into a city, one by one, then go out and get the other one. Rabbi Gamliel says, you're allowed to bring shnayim shnayim. You're allowed to bring in 2 at a time, and then go out and get the rest, go out and get more of them. What is this specifically referring to, these words of the Mishnah? These heterim of carrying 1 or 2 are only referring to old tefillin, b'yashanais. In other words, tefillin that have Ritzuais, Batim, etc. There are kashra pairs of tefillin. But in a case of chadashais, which are referring to tefillin that are new, meaning to say that they just have Batim, or they might be kameis, and they're not really a full kashra pair of tefillin, in those cases, you're not allowed to bring them into the city at all, and carrying whether 1 or carrying 2. Let's say a person found a lot of tefillin outside, in a way that he can't possibly bring all of them in, then he's supposed to stay with them through the night, and then he brings them back afterwards. Let's say you're in a situation where it's a sakana. In other words, you can't watch the tefillin because you're afraid you could get attacked. Or if you carry them in, you're afraid you can get attacked. So Reb Shimon says, nice in l'chaveira, you should give them to a friend, v'chaveira l'chaveira, and then a friend gives them to a friend, and so on and so forth until you reach the city. V'chein b'nai, and the same thing applies to a child which is born in the field and has to be transported to his house. You should also do the same thing, nice thing, lechavera, 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 as long as you have to go in order to bring it into the city. Gemara. We explain, according to the Tanakhama, why is 1 pair of tefillin mutter to carry into the city? We say that this is mutter because of hatsala. We need to save the tefillin. Therefore, you're allowed to bring in 1 pair of tefillin, but you're not allowed to bring in more than 1 pair of tefillin. What about the inyan of baltaisif? We have here a question about baltaisif. What's the hava mina to be able to bring in 2 pairs of tefillin? If you're going to wear 2 pairs of tefillin, you'll be over on Bal Taisif. And if you say Shabbos is man tefillin, so what's going to happen is you're wearing 1 pair of tefillin is surely mutter. because if you're wearing one pair of tefillin and Shabbos is man tefillin, one pair you're allowed to wear. But how would you be allowed to wear two pairs? You'd be over on Bal Taisif. So we say, according to the Rashbam and according to Taisvis, if you have specific kavana not to do the mitzvah, then you're not over on Bal Taisif. So here, since your kavana is for Hatzalah, therefore if you wear one pair of tefillin, or even potentially if you'd wear two pairs of tefillin, there is no kavana at all to do the mitzvah of tefillin, but you're only doing it for Hatzalah purposes. The Gemara then says, how is it possible to wear two pairs of tefillin? And we say, Makim yesh bereish sheroi laniach shtei tefillin. We say that there's actually a place on the head for a person to wear two pairs of tefillin. And today, incidentally, some of the Svardim still do this. They wear both Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam together at the same time. And we say today there is no Bal Taisif if somebody does this, since there's a suffix about what the mitzvah is. Is it according to the Shita of Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam? Therefore, if they wear two, there is no union of Bal Taisif. The same klal is similar to the case of sitting in a sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. We know that there's a question if Shmini Atzeres is considered sukkis or it's considered the chag, a special chag in of itself. So is the seventh day considered sukkis or not? Therefore, it's a sveika de yoima. We're not really sure which day it belongs to, which part of Yontif does it belong to. So we say most people's minig is to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. And you're not over about taisif because the whole day is a question of sveika de yoima. However, this whole question of sveika de yoima, which the Gemara says is better to sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, this only applies in the United States or anywhere in Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, though, however, where the day of Shmini Atzeres is not a case of sveika de yoima, you would not be allowed to sit in the sukkah on that day because you could potentially be over Bal Taisif. I remember when I was learning in Eretz Yisrael, I was by somebody's house. There were four of us who were eating by someone. All four of us were Americans who all had the minig to eat in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. And this person, obviously, was afraid of Bal Taisif. And since he had four Americans there who did eat in the sukkah, he really had to eat in the sukkah. So he ate in the sukkah, but he took a towel and he put it on the schach above the place where he sat. So technically, since the ikra mitzvah of sukkah is in the schach, he was not really yaitza by sitting under the sukkah at all. In fact, as far as he was concerned, he wasn't really sitting in the sukkah. We were sitting under the schach, and he wasn't. Therefore, there was no chash for him of Bal Taisif. We then bring down Tana de Bei Menashe, where we ask, where exactly is the place where a person is supposed to wear the tefillin? Since the pasuk says al yadacha, this is referring to zu kibaris, the bicep of the upper arm. That's the place where you wear the tefillin shel yad. What about the tefillin shel reish? Bein einacha. This is referring to zu kadkaid. This is referring to the area of the head above the hairline. Then we bring down explanations for the machlokes between the Tanakama and Rabban Gamliel as to why you wear one pair of tefillin, you're allowed to carry back one pair, or you'd be allowed to wear two pairs in the case of the Mishnah. And the first possible way of explaining it is the machlokes is im Shabbos zman tefillin. Is Shabbos considered the zman tefillin? According to the Tanakama, Shabbos is considered the zman tefillin. Therefore, you're only allowed to wear one pair of tefillin. But according to Rabban Gamliel, Shabbos is not zman tefillin. Therefore, his kavana is only for Hatzalah, since it's then considered a tachshit, and there's enough room for two pairs of tefillin. You're wearing it as a tachshit, therefore you can wear two pairs of tefillin. And Rashi brings down, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, this is the primary teretz here in the Gemara. We then have two Ibayisema. One Ibayisema says the machlokes is im mitzvah tzrichas kavanah. According to the Tanakama, mitzvah tzrichas kavanah, therefore you're only allowed to wear one pair. According to Rabban Gamliel, mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavanah, therefore you're allowed to wear two pairs. And finally Ibayisema is if you need kavana in a mitzvah in order to be over Bal Taisif. According to the Tanakama, no kavana is needed to be over Bal Taisif. Therefore, since there's no kavana needed, if you put on a second pair of tefillin right now, whether you have kavana or not, for whatever purpose, you're over on Bal Taisif. Therefore, you're only allowed to wear one pair. But according to Rabban Gamliel, we say that you have to have kavana in a mitzvah in order to be over Bal Taisif. So since here specifically your kavana is not to do the mitzvah of tefillin, but your kavana rather is for Hatzalah purposes, therefore you're allowed to wear two pairs of tefillin. Daf Tzadik Vav. The Gemara then asks, according to this last Ibai Seima, if according to the Tanakama you don't need kavana in order to be over and Bal Taisiv, so then how can you even wear one pair of tefillin on Shabbos? No matter what you did, you've now added Shabbos to the 6 days of Chol that you wear tefillin. So you're going to be over Bal Taisiv, whether you want to be over it or not. And not only that, if this Ibayisema is true, we should say that on Shmini Atzeres, Hayoshein b'Shmini b'Sukkah Yilaka. Since this is a separate Chag, and now you end up sleeping in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, you should be over on Bal Taisif. And we know that this is in fact just the opposite. You're not over on Bal Taisif.
In fact, we know that in Chutzlar, it says the Gemara in Sukkah, Daf Chop Zayin says, we have a chiyuv to sit in the Sukkah on Shmini Atzeres because of Sveika D'Yayman. Since we don't know if the last day is Sukkah or if it's Shmini Atzeres. Therefore, we say we go back to the first Teretz. That the machlokes between the Tanakam and Rebbe Gamliel is totally in if Shabbos is Mantfilin or Shabbos is Labs Mantfilin. According to the Tanakam, it is Mantfilin. Therefore, you can only wear one pair when you're bringing them back to the city. According to Rebbe Gamliel, Shabbos is Labs Mantfilin. Therefore, it's considered a Tachshit, and you can wear two pairs. Now the Gemara asks, Uman Shamis Le Shabbos Mantfilin. Who is this Mandi Amar, the Tanakam, who holds that Shabbos is Mantfilin? Who is this Mandi Amar? And the Gemara now embarks on a Lamdish Sugya, and it proposes four different ways to answer this question. Number one, the Gemara says, this Tana is Rabbi Akiva. We have a pasuk in Shmos Yud Gimel that says, Vishamarta esachuka azayis lemayada miyamim yamima. This is one of the four parshiyos of the Tefillin. One of the four parshiyos of the Tefillin has this in it. And this particular pasuk is next to the inyan of Karban Pesach. The question is, if hachuka hazayis is referring to Tefillin or is referring to Karban Pesach? So we learn, we darshan from the pasuk. A tefillin, it says yamim. Yamim means yamim v'loy leilais. The chiyuv tefillin is only by day and it's not by night. And then miyamim, what does miyamim mean? Miyamim is prat l'shabbos v'yantav, to come to exclude Shabbos and yantav, that no tefillin is worn. Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglil. Rabbi Akiva Imer, what does Rabbi Akiva says? Akiva says, leinemar chuka. Chuka zu el inyan pesach bilvad. Anytime we use the word chuka, it's only referring to Karban Pesach. So we now have a raya that this inyan is referring to Pesach and is not referring to tefillin. Therefore, we have no pshat to exclude Shabbos from the mitzvah tefillin, and Rabbi Akiva would be the Tana who holds Shabbos man tefillin. The Gemara answers no. We have a different brisa that says something else. Rabbi Akiva, Imer Yachal, I might think, Yaniach Adam tefillin b'Shabbos v'yantiv, Talmud Leimer v'haya lacha l'ois al yadecha. We have a special pasuk that says, ois. What does ois comes to teach you? L'ais comes to teach you that only on those days that we need an ice do we wear tefillin. Yatsu elu shagufanites. This comes to exclude any day which in of itself is already an ice. The only time you have to wear tefillin is when you need an ice. But if it's on a day which is already an ice in of itself, you don't have to wear tefillin. So this comes to exclude those days. For example, this comes to exclude Shabbos. How do you know Shabbos is an ice? Because it says beini uvein b'nei Yisrael ice hiliyalam. That's how you know Shabbos is an ice. Therefore, since it's already an ice, you don't have to wear tefillin on that day. And it also comes to exclude Yantav. Yantav is a day which is considered just like Shabbos. As we know from Rashi in Vayikra, Chof Gimel, Pasuk Tesvav, Rashi brings down, Mimacharas HaShabbos. Rashi says, Mimacharas Yantav, that Shabbos is equal to Yantav. So now it becomes obvious that Rabbi Akiva is not the Tanakam of the Mishnah. Incidentally, the whole Shaila of putting on tefillin on Chol HaMoed also revolves around the same Shaila that we said before. If Chol HaMoed is considered an ice, we know that Yantav is considered an ice, but what about Chol HaMoed? Therefore, we know some people have the minhag to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, some people have the minhag not to wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. For more on this, you can take a look at the Taisvus here on this daf, Divrei HaMaskil Yomim, and also in the Ritva and Taisvus Rabbeinu Peretz. As a side note, the Gemara mentions Omar Rabbi Lai, he brings on the sheet of Rabbi Lai, Kol Makom Shenemar, He Shomer, Pen, or Vial, any of those three words, Eina Ela B'Laisase, these are only referring, these specifically refer to cases of mitzvahs that are Laisase. The Gemara then brings the second teretz here to try to explain who the Tana is, who the Tanakam is in this Mishnah that holds Shabbos man tefillin. Elahai Tanu, they bring this Tana. The Tanya, Hanir Balaila, if a person was awake at night, Ratza Chaylitz, if a person wants and he's already wearing his tefillin, he can either remove them. But Ratza Meiniach, if he wants, he can leave them on. Divrei Reb Nosson, Reb Nosson holds this. Yenisen Kitaini has a different sheet he holds. Ein Manichin Tefillin Balaila, one is not allowed to wear tefillin at night. Now, what's the reason for the shita of Rabbi Nosson? If a person wears tefillin at night, he doesn't have to take them off, since we say, according to this Tana, that the mitzvah of tefillin applies at night also. Rashi mentions here that the iser today of wearing tefillin at night is basically midrabbanan. The reason is because the rabbanan were afraid when a person is asleep, he won't be able to be clean, he won't be able to be in a proper state to be able to wear tefillin. Therefore, they assered the wearing of tefillin at night. But this particular Tana holds that it's mutter to wear tefillin at night. Now, the raya here is, since according to the Tanakam, who is Reb Nosson, night is ending up to be the time that the mitzvah of tefillin can be fulfilled, we see Shabbos also. Then therefore, you could also hold that Shabbos is also the Zman of tefillin. The Gemara then comes to reject this teretz also. So we move on to a third teretz. We bring down this braisa. Titania, Michal Bas Kushi. Michal, who is the daughter of Shaul, Michal Barshol, Ashes David, the wife of David. Haisa Manachas Tfilin Velo Michal Bachachamim. She used to put on Tfilin, and the Chachamim were not protesting against her. Michal had a special interest in doing the mitzvah of Tfilin because she didn't have children. And wearing Tfilin is a skula for having children, therefore she wanted to wear Tfilin. This is the Pshat in the Ben Yehoyada. And secondly, in this brisa we learn as follows. V'ishto shel Yoina Haisa Ali L'Rego Velo Michal Bachachamim. The wife of Yoina used to make Aliyah L'Rego on the Shalosh Regalim, and the Chachamim did not protest against her. She wanted to do this because, as we know from the Maftu Yoina, which we learn in Yom Kippur, Yona ran away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Since Yona ran away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yona's wife wanted to do just the opposite. She wanted to appear before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, she wanted to make Aliyah L'Rego. And again, Loi Michu Barabana. So what do you see from this? Alma we see Kasari Mitzvah Saseh Shaloi Hazman Gramahi. That we see the Tfilin is a mitzvah to say, Shaloi Hazman Grama. So therefore, women are really mechuyev in it. In other words, it's a mitzvah that applies all the time. Not only does it apply during the week, it also applies on Shabbos. Therefore, we see from this that this can be a raya, that the Tanakama is the same person who holds this here, and this brice is the same Tanakama we have in our brice, in our Mishnah. Now, the Goyen Yaakov asks a question. If in fact this is true, but this is a mitzvah to say Shaloi Hazman Grama, and women are mechuyev also, and it's a mitzvah that's mechuyev at all times, so why only did Michal fulfill this mitzvah? If this is really true, then all women are obligated to put on tefillin. So why don't we say all women should be mechuyev to wear tefillin? So we say that the Rabbanan said that women are not mechuyev to wear tefillin because we're afraid that women are incapable of maintaining a proper state of cleanliness in order to wear tefillin. This is brought down in the Ramah, and the Mishnah Berurah brings down this also. However, in the case of Michal, they allowed her to do that anyway because a woman of her stature, who was so chashev, she would be careful to maintain the proper state of cleanliness. And the Gemara says, no. Maybe the only reason that this Braisa says this is because the Braisa holds like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi holds, Nashim Saimchais Rishus. Women, although they're not Mechuyev in Tefillin, they have the option to do any mitzvah that they want to. And we see this from the mitzvah of Smicha. We know that by Karbanas, a person is Mechuyev to put his hands on the animal's head and to lean against the animal with their full strength. We see this from the Gemara in Chagiga, Daf Tezayin. V'samach yaday al reish ha'ayla. Rabbi Yehuda learns from this that women are not mechuyev in this particular mitzvah. But Rabbi Yaisi says that really they have no obligation to lean against the animal, but they can do so if they want to anyway. So what do we see? According to Rabbi Yaisi, although women are pater from doing certain mitzvahs, nevertheless, they're allowed to do that if they want. So therefore, with this the Gemara can say, but the reason that the Rabbanan did not object to Michal's putting on tefillin is because of this reason, because Nashim Saim Chais Rishush, she could have if she wanted to. Therefore, we have no Raya anymore, that the mitzvah of tefillin applies on Shabbos, and that the Tana in our Mishnah is this particular Tana. And then Gemara says, you absolutely have to say this. Why? Because we said the Ishto Shal Yoina used to be Mekoy Aliyah L'Regel. The Gemara asks a very, very simple question. Mi Ika L'Mandi Amar Regalav Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Gramahi. How is it possible? We know. Okay, maybe you could tie that a tefillin is a mitzvah sasei shaloi hazman grama. Therefore, it's possible that you're mechuyev to wear it on Shabbos. When you're dealing with Aliyah L'Regel, Aliyah L'Regel, 100% according to all shittos, has to be a mitzvah sasei shaloi hazman grama. Because you know, we know the only times you do it is Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkos. So what do we see? That the ikur reason that the Ishto Yoina was allowed to do what she did to be Aliyah L'Regel had nothing to do with lav grama, but rather could have had to do with the fact of Nashim Saim Chis Rishus. Therefore, again, we have no more Raya to what we're trying to find, who the Tana is in our Mishnah. Finally, we bring the fourth and final Teretz, which is how we end up holding. We say that we bring down another Braisa. It says, Amaitzei Tefillin, one who finds Tefillin on Shabbos, Machnisim Zug Zug. They're allowed to bring them in one pair at a time. Echad Ish Ve'echad Isha, either a man or a woman, Echad Chadashis, Echad Nishanis, whether they're old or whether they're new. Tivar Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Iser bechadashus umatir biyishanis, but then we say as follows: Adkan loy pligi yala bechadashus viyishanis. I will be isha loy pligi. But by isha, they don't argue. Everybody permits it. Shema mino. We learn from here: mitzvah sasei shaloi hazman grama. A tefillin is a mitzvah sasei shaloi hazman grama. Echal mitzvah sasei she'en hazman grama nashim chayavos. So what do we see from this? Since women are mechuyev to perform the mitzvah of tefillin, a woman can participate in the rescue of lost tefillin without looking like she's violating the prohibition against the prohibition of Bal Taisif. So what do we have now? We end up having that the Gemara has finally concluded, and they finally found who the people are, who are the shittas of our Mishnah, who hold that Shabbos is Man Tefillin, this is the shittas of Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, who, according to this brisa, women are allowed to wear tefillin on Shabbos in order to save them. So what do we see? That tefillin, our mitzvah is to say, shaloi hazman roma. We then say, Rosh Hashanah ein ma'akvin esatinoikis miliskaya. We're not ma'akvin. If a little kid wants to blow a shofar, we don't tell him not to. Then going back to the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, we say Rabbi Yossi nemuke imoy, and therefore we paskin nashim saim chais rishus. As we mentioned before, nashim are allowed to do any mitzvah that they want to, even if they're not mechuyev in it. We paskin like him, so therefore they have rishus to do even a mitzvah sasei shazman groma. The question here is, if a woman does a mitzvah sasei shazman groma, should she make a bracha or should she not? There's a havamin that she should not make a bracha, because it could potentially be a bracha shein et tzricha. We know this because we say in a bracha, Hashir kidushanam mitzvaitza vitzivanu. And since women were not mitzuva in some of these mitzvahs, therefore mitzivanu was not true. However, the Rabbeinu Tam here, and in Rosh Hashanah and other Rishanim say it's okay for a woman to make a bracha, since we see from Michal Bashal, and we paskin like Rabbi Yosef, the Chamim did not protest against it. So therefore we could say that they are allowed to make a bracha. And technically mitzivanu does include a woman, since they're really part of Klal Yisrael. However, the one shita who does not hold to this is the Rambam. The Rambam says that a woman is not allowed to make a bracha. And basically, we know the Rambam is always machmer on brachas because he holds it's very easy to be over a bracha levatala if you accidentally say the name of Hashem in vain. This is the shita we know this from this in Masechta Brachas and in Masechta Shabbos in certain areas that the Rambam is very machpid on this. Taf Tzadik Zayin. What's the difference between Yishanais and Chadashais? Yishanais are kol sheyesh by Ritzuais ubikusharis, anything that has the Ritzuais and it has the knots. What are the knots that we're referring to here? There's a yud, which we have in the shel yad. There's a dalad knot, which we have in the shel reish. And we also have the letter shin on the bias of the shel reish. And this spells out the word shakai. These are all halachal amayshim Sinai. Rashi paskins that all these three things, the yud, the dalad, and the shin, are all halachal amayshim Sinai. Taisus paskins only the shin is halachal amayshim Sinai. What about chadashais? Chadashis are yesh behem ritzuis v'loim kusharis. They have the ritzuis, but they do not have the knots. However, we say ananiva, which is a bow, that is osur in tefillin. Amar Reb Nachman, v'noyehen levar. Each of these knots that we're referring to have to be facing outward. Amar Reb Chizda Amar Rav, halakeach tefillin yimisha ena mumcha. If you buy tefillin from someone who is not a mumcha, baidik shtayim shal reish v'yachas shal yad, or vice versa, shtayim shal yad v'yachas shal reish, for a total of three times, which is a chazaka. And we have a machloikis, a famous machloikis. What exactly is a chazakah? Rabbi holds a chazakah is twice. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel holds three times. And we hold that a chazakah is three times. We then talk about a sakana. If there's a sakana that a person might get killed, then he's allowed to cover up the tefillin and leave. He doesn't have to do anything with them. But if it's just a sakana of listim, then a person should walk pachas, pachas, midalat amas. Rav Shimon says it's best that not to walk pachas pachas midalad, but you should hand it to a friend. Two people should hand it one to the other, and then walk pachas pachas midalad. But Tanakama holds one person is better to walk and walk pachas pachas midalad. What are the different shitas? According to the Tanakama, he's afraid avsa milsa de Shabbos. What happens is if one person does it, it's better to do one person, because if you do it two people, you'll show public respect, public disrespect for the Shabbos in front of a lot of people. And according to Rav Shimon, he holds two is better, because the lav zimnin adaite, we're afraid that if a person does it once by himself, at some point in the future he'll forget and he'll end up carrying in a rishus harab d'araisa, and he could come to me b'chuyev for something like that. The Rambam says that lechatchila, a person is allowed to hand something to a friend, pachas pachas midalat, or a person himself is allowed to walk pachas pachas midalat. The Ramban, on the other hand, holds that it's mamish asr, you're not allowed to do this at all. And in fact, the Ravid brings down that the Rambam only means that it's mutter in a shasat chak, but the chatchila, you're not allowed to do this. And he brings a raya from the end of Masechta Shabbos in the parak of Mishah Hichshech. We know that this whole eitzah of pachas pachas midalad is only a last alternative, but lechatchila, you're not allowed to do it. Therefore, we have a raya that technically this is only mutter b'diavad, but not lechatchila. And the same halacha applies, as we mentioned, with the question of benoy yeladus. If a kid is born out in the field, you're also, since that's a case of shasat chak, you're allowed to give it one person to the other in order to bring the baby into the city. We then say, Amotzi oichel b'kli, if a person carries oichel in a kli, he's only chaya for the oichel, but he's putter for the kli, because the kli is really a tafel to the oichel. We then have a mishnah that says, if you were reading a rolled sefer on a porch, and part of it slipped out and rolled into a rishus harabim, it's okay to pull it back. And here we have a klal that hold that says, Ein l'cha davar mishum shvus, ayimed bifnei
kavod kisvei hakodesh, a davar which is a shvus, and here it's a shvus because part of the keli which is in a rishus harav and part of this scroll, that's only asur mid rabbanan. But that does not take precedence over the kedusha of kisvei hakodesh. Therefore, you're allowed to reel it in and bring it in. Taf tzadik kas. We have the shita of Ben Azai, who holds mahalach is ko'emid dami. We also have the isur of throwing kisvei hakodesh. Then we say a window ledge, which is in a rishus harabim, above 10 tvachim from the ground, you're allowed to put plates and glasses on it, or take them off, as long as these glasses and plates, if they fell, would break. And then we have a mishnah that says a person cannot stand in a rishus hayachid and urinate into a rishus harabim, or spit into a rishus harabim, or vice versa. You can't stand in a rishus harabim and do that into a rishus hayachid. Rabbi Yehuda holds, if you have saliva gathered in your mouth, you're not allowed to work more than dalet amos with that in your mouth, because it's considered carrying. We know that both an akira and a hanacha must be on a makam chashiv, dalet al dalet. What about this? The gemara we said before about spitting and urinating? Those are not dalet al dalet. So we say that's okay, because machshavta mishav yilei makam. Therefore he's chayef. His machshava to do the maisa makes it into a makam chashiv. We see this from Shabbos daf kuf beis, by throwing a stick into a running dog's mouth. You're chayef even though it's not a makam dalet, because he had machshava mishav yilei makam. We then say that Paris can only become Tameh if they were Mukhshir L'Kabel Tuma. This comes via being touched with liquid. We then say anyone who spits in front of his Rebbe is Chayav Misa. Then we have a Mishnah that says, Lo Yamod Adam B'Rishus HaYachid V'Yishtev B'Rishus HaRavim, or vice versa. Elaim Hichnis Reishev Yerubi L'Makam Shu Shaisa. What about a Carmelist? Avayas is a Carmelist is like a B'Rishus HaRavim, because Haitzah is a Malacha Gurua, therefore you're not allowed to do that. And Rabbis is not the same thing, therefore you are allowed to do that. Then we have the Gemara B'Chein B'Gas, which is speaking about a wine press. This is referring to Maiser. According to the Chumim, we know after you pick something, you're allowed to eat something which is an Eichel Arai, and the top of a gas is considered Eichel Arai as long as you just use your mouth and you don't use a cup. Then we have a Mishnah about a Maschila, that one can catch water from a gutter into a bucket as long as it's less than 10 Tvachim. Then we have a Mishnah that says Bor B'Rishus HaRabim, and it has an embankment that's 10 Tvachim high. You're allowed to, from a window on the side of it, draw water from it. Finally, we have a Mishnah that says a tree with branches, as long as they descend to within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's okay to carry, since these are lavud and they're kashra mechitzas.